You know, I got some news anchors really mad last night when I said on live television that the United States has effectively lost the war with Iran. Now, it's a bit more nuanced than that because militarily we may have slightly achieved our goals, but that is meaningless if our end goals to defang their ability to fund proxies, defang their nuclear enrichment, and stop them from getting nukes weren't achieved. And they weren't. And the military goals are quite meaningless when Iran is actually gaining more regional leverage by gaining more control over the Strait of Hormuz. The breaking news report that I see right now is one ship has passed through the Strait of Hormuz today, and it was not a Western allied ship. We got three ships through the Strait of Hormuz yesterday compared to the 100 plus that we got through before the war. The Strait of Hormuz makes up about a quarter of all oil supply passing through for the world, and now it is effectively closed. We have legitimized a strategy in which Iran can choke that strait and continue to extort the world. Trump is beginning to realize that and is currently melting down on Truth Social, so I want to break down exactly why, yes, we have lost this war. I'm taking the position. I don't care if people get mad at me. I don't care if conservatives try to finger wag me or if people call me anti-America. We all know that I am anything but. If you watch this channel for any amount of time, you know that I want America to be better. I like America. I love America, in fact. I see a great version of America that's a pluralistic society where people can represent their interests in a democratic way, and there is nobody oppressed by ICE, by Republicans. People can live freely. But that is not what's happening. Right now, gas prices are spiking because we have a rogue president going to war. And yes, we lost this war. I'm going to continue to say it and continue to illustrate exactly how we lost. For example, before I even hop into the military of it all, you know you've lost a war when the Pope is vaguely posting about how the wars across the globe need to be toned down. The Pope has been anti-war, I mean, his entire life, but since Trump has been launching these wars, he's been speaking out in a rather vague but also implicitly directed at Trump manner, saying that war is bad. Just today, he sent out a series of posts. He said, "God does not bless any conflict. Anyone who is a disciple of Christ, the Prince of Peace, is never on the side of those who once wielded the sword and today drop bombs. Military action will not create space for freedom or times of peace, which come only from the patient promotion of coexistence with dialogue among peoples." He's basically calling Trump out, saying, dude, negotiation is the key, not threatening to wipe out civilizations. He then posted, just this morning, "Absurd and inhuman violence is spreading ferociously through the sacred places of the Christian East, profaned by the blasphemy of war and the brutality of business, with no regard for people's lives, which are considered at most collateral damage of self-interest. But no gain can be worth the life of the weakest, children, or families. No cause can justify the shedding of innocent life." He's tweeting that because the first days of the ceasefire were the deadliest Lebanon has seen since 2024. This title is just contradictory. How is it a ceasefire if our allies didn't cease firing and if the war is still going on? Very quickly, if you appreciate the no-nonsense news that we bring, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed to help us get to 2 million followers. We're going to continue to relentlessly push back and debate against these right-wing freaks so we can have a better future for America. But when it comes to the ceasefire and when it comes to the war, how can you in one breath say that America has won this war so decisively, and then in the next breath say, but the Strait of Hormuz is still closed, but Iran is still extorting the entire region and the entire globe and getting richer in doing so? Israel is out of control and immediately broke the ceasefire after repeatedly striking Lebanon and committing war crimes against hundreds of people. I mean, since the beginning of this war in Lebanon, thousands have died. Hezbollah has been striking or shooting missiles out of Lebanon. But there have been thousands of civilian deaths, and we saw hundreds more after the ceasefire was cut. So I'm sorry, I don't think it's a victory when the ceasefire didn't hold for even 3 hours. Firing is continuing. They keep calling it on the mainstream media a fragile ceasefire that is straining to hold. But then the headlines say these are the deadliest days Lebanon has seen. That doesn't sound like a ceasefire to me. We also know that Europe could face jet fuel shortages in 3 weeks. There is sort of a delayed supply shock, so to speak, of the Strait of Hormuz closing. The best way to illustrate this is just think there's a 30-day delay for these ships to get from the Middle East to some of our ports of entry. So even when the strait was closed, we didn't fully feel the effects. We felt some anticipatory effects. Some people were predicting it would spike, so gas price began to rise. But we haven't actually hit the point where ships are stopping coming to our ports, and that is when we will face massive, massive shortages. Donald Trump is meanwhile desperately posting on Truth Social just this morning. Quote, "The Iranians don't seem to realize they have no cards other than a short-term extortion of the world by using international waterways." What? That's contradictory. It's like, all right, the bank robber needs to realize he has no cards except for the fact that he has the entire bank held hostage. He has the keys to the vault. He has the security on lock. He's extorting everybody in the small town for their money, and he's about to steal the actual money from the safe while everybody is tied up. Other than that, he has no cards. It's like, no, those sound like some pretty decent cards to me. The Iranians are not simply using short-term extortion. They are getting richer and richer by carving a new leverage pathway, which says that they can hold basically the entire region hostage to the straits, and nobody can do anything about it. They have just broken ground and realized what they can do and how much power they have. This is perhaps, in the short term, even more powerful than having enriched uranium, even more powerful than the threat of nukes or the missiles they had. The fact that they can just open or close the Strait of Hormuz at will gives them more leverage than they would have had otherwise. So yeah, they do have pretty decent cards, and this is somebody who does not like the Iranian regime. I keep having to clarify, the Iranian regime is despicable. My main foreign policy advisor and policy advisor, Micah Irfan, is Iranian-American. His family is from Iran. They have been beaten, abused, imprisoned by the regime for no reason. You can look this up and just see the regime takes away the rights of people on a daily basis. So there needs to be a freedom, a freeing of the Iranian people. Ideally, they liberate themselves and there's no intervention in doing so. But what Donald Trump is doing is literally handing this regime wins and more leverage on a daily basis. We can't control Israel, and Donald Trump is struggling to find an off-ramp in any way possible. He literally had to run to Pakistan to make up some fake negotiation ceasefire. Then Donald Trump agreed to the ceasefire on the 10-point terms that Iran proposed, and then claimed that he didn't even read the 10-point terms and they were different than what he thought they were. This entire war has been defined by complete incompetence from officials at the highest level. And the more that we learn about the impetus of this war, you know, Netanyahu sitting Trump down in the Situation Room and pitching him, the more we learn that this was an undue, unjust, unnecessary, illegal, unconstitutional war. I mean, watch this clip of John Kerry, former presidential candidate, former Secretary of State to Obama, detailing how Netanyahu made the same exact pitch to them, the same pitch to the Obama administration, yet Trump was the only president dumb enough to fall for this pitch. Watch.
You've probably sat across the table from Prime Minister Netanyahu more than almost anyone else out there, and he and Israel are, of course, big factors here. There's been recent reporting, you probably saw in the New York Times, that Netanyahu was taken into the Situation Room where he basically pitched Trump on attacking Iran. Were you ever part of any conversations like that? I know he's made that pitches to past administrations. Were you ever a part of that? And were you surprised that he was able to convince Trump to do this?
Well, I was part of any number of conversations with Prime Minister Netanyahu, conversations that took place in other countries.
Pitching the U.S. to strike Iran.
Yes, he wanted us to strike. He came to President Obama. He made a presentation to ask to strike. President Obama refused. President Biden refused. President Bush refused. The only president who has agreed to this, obviously, is President Trump.
This is what I've been saying on the show for weeks now. Netanyahu has been trying to go to war for his entire adult life. The reporting has already shown, and I'm glad that John Kerry is able to confirm this reporting, but the reporting showed that Netanyahu had made this pitch to many U.S. presidents. None of them fell for it except for Trump. Ed Elson points out, the fact that Trump is writing down the stock tickers while sending these tweets is insane. It's wild corruption. He's shouting out Palantir, which is Peter Thiel's company. He says, Palantir Technologies, ticker PLTR, has proven to have great warfighting capabilities and equipment. Just ask our enemies, President DJT. I hate the way he signs it in such a narcissistic manner with President DJT. Like, nobody gives a shit, number one. Number two, why is he giving a Palantir plug on his Truth Social? Number three, why is he plugging the actual stock ticker sign? He's plugging the abbreviation for the stock market entity that Palantir can be bought, the vehicle that you can buy Palantir with. He's trying to pump the stock market, manipulate the stock market. He does this time and time again while just getting us into more forever wars, getting the rich richer, getting Palantir investors richer, the Epstein class richer, without actually getting Americans more comfortable. I love you all. I'll see you in the next video. Make sure you subscribe for more breaking news, and peace out.